Do you hear the drums of liberation? Because today we're talking about joyous rebellion in fiction, fandoms, and in real life. How joy in One Piece and Star Wars becomes a weapon against empires. How protest movements use the symbols today, and how historically, joy has always been a tool of survival, defiance, and collective power. So throughout the show of One Piece, you see Luffy being joyful. And I mean, for me in the beginning, I will be honest, I thought he was kind of annoying. I was like, why does he take everything so unseriously? Does he even think about what he's doing? The truth is, he always did. And you start to realize that as you watch the show. I rewatched it and I noticed in the second rewatch, he makes you think he's dumb, really, but he's not. Now, when we flash forward to Joy Boy, Joy Boy himself embodies joyful resistance. And this is where it gets really interesting because Luffy inherits that role. And in Wano, when he awakens Gear 5, the narration literally says the drums of liberation are ringing. And when Luffy wakes up Gear 5, which truly is embodiment of Joy Boy, as mentioned, his fighting style becomes kind of cartoonish. You know, it looks absurd. Are predictable, and is powered by laughter. You know, he has his hand on his face, just laughing while he's over here fighting the Marines, and the Marines are so confused, they don't know what to do. But even Luffy himself can't seem to control the laughter. It just erupts out of him, and that laughter breaks the Marines' morale. It throws them off because fascist systems rely on predictability, fear, and order. But Luffy's joy destroys that rhythm. And, you know, fascism hates joy because joy makes people fearless. And, you know, when we talk about the Straw Hat Jolly Roger, I know a lot of people want to say it represents liberation. And maybe to some it does. But its initiation, when it was created, was simply Luffy just being Luffy and wanting a Jolly Roger that represented himself, his crew, and the joy that they brought to this world of theirs. This joy extends to real world politics, where we have seen in protests calling for Palestinian liberation, the Palestinian flag, along with the Jolly Roger of the Straw Hats. Other protests that have also had the Jolly Roger are in Indonesia and in Paris. And in Paris specifically as well, the Palestinian flag was also flown next to it. It was actually really cool because on October 18th, I had a chance to check out the protest for a little bit towards the end. And I saw people dressed up as a Straw Hat crew. People obviously wearing the Luffy hats, the outfit, but also there were other people dressed up as Nami, Sanji, Robin. You know, it was so cute. But it was also such a poignant moment to really think about because in this world, we are using symbols that represent joy and resistance in fiction. And it's to no surprise, right, that powerful cultural symbols are going to be co-opted sometimes by right-wingers because they want to confuse. And like examples here, Mexico, we have seen that there were like supposedly protests happening led by Gen Z. But when you look deeper into not only who's funding them, but also who was present, majority of the people who were present were right-wing groups that tried to appropriate One Piece imagery to claim that the Mexican government is a fascist empire targeting conservatives. There's been a lot of color revolution throughout history, and there will be right-wingers in these countries creating oppressive, you know, situations where they impact what progress the current government is doing, especially if they're leftist governments, in order for people to feel frustrated and fight. And then sometimes it's not even a lot of people, just enough people to really paint a picture for other people around the world to think that there's something happening and that there's a revolution led by grassroots efforts. But this is not true in Mexico. These efforts were led by right-wingers co-opting a lot of the imagery from One Piece. I just want to point out that although there are some legitimate things that people can complain about and should have a right to speak up on, a lot of the protests that were happening in November in Mexico were not in good faith. Sadly, the people who did have legitimate concerns were not being heard because a lot of misogynist, racist rhetoric was being spread at these supposed protests against Gladys Sheinbaum. And this really, so it's important to distinguish genuine grassroots struggle from the manipulation of cultural symbols by actors aligned with imperialist or reactionary interests. The symbol is not the problem, right? Like the Jolly Roger is not the problem, but it's who uses it and why. Oda had a lot of revolutionary actors in this anime. He's inspired by a lot of revolutionary people in history, from Fidel Castro or even Che Guevara. I mean, like Dragon, Luffy's dad is one of those revolutionaries. You really see clearly how Oda was inspired by understanding that when Dragon decided to fight the way that he's fighting against the world government was after the O'Hara Island got destroyed. I just kind of think it's funny, though, how like right-wingers want to confuse people who are not fans. Because people who are fans, we're just looking at this and we're like, hello, what are you doing? Like, nobody was fooled on TikTok, for example. I saw a lot of videos on TikTok from leftist commentators who are Mexican as well talking about this. And knowing for a fact that this was not a grassroots, like spontaneous protest led by Gen Z. It was literally Yusuf Vicente Fox, which was a former president of Mexico who had ties with Coca-Cola, hence the water rights that are going to be in question in the next years to come, especially with climate change being an issue. And then you had a lot of these people who were just not Gen Z. And not only that, I mean, like I mentioned, there were some people and people have legitimate concerns that should have a right to speak on. But this was not that type of protest. And Joy was nowhere to be found because it was a lot of misogynist like rhetoric that was everywhere. But anyways, let's go back to this because One Piece, you know, people who are fans, we know that this show, this anime, is fundamentally anti-fascist, anti-imperialist, you know, anti-colonialist, collective and liberatory. So when we see protesters, we know who is actually for this, who has actually watched it, and who is using it for legitimate, genuine purposes. And I want to talk about Star Wars because the rebels use hope as resistance. One Piece uses joy and Star Wars uses hope. And both of these really feed off of each other because you need hope in order to also have joy. And this is what Luffy has all the time. Wow, I just caught myself. I almost said Lucy instead of Luffy. And for the fans, you know why I'm laughing at this. And if you haven't watched it, you better watch it because you would understand what I mean. But anyways, yeah, I mean, really, when we talk about Star Wars, the Galactic Empire, you know, it mirrors real-world fascism from its surveillance to militarization, genocide, propaganda, white supremacist aesthetics, but also human supremacy. Because in Star Wars, humans are deemed like higher than any other being and any other creature. The Rebel Alliance. What is it? Why is it so terrifying to the Empire? Well, honestly, it's not even just because of the firepower, because they barely have anything when it comes to that. They have to steal weapons and equipment in order to be able to fight the Empire. They're not really just scared about the firepower that the rebels have. What the Empire is really afraid of, it's hope. And we saw how frantic the Imperials in Star Wars were to shut down Nemec's manifesto to make it disappear because it gave hope to people. I'm not going to talk about all of it here on this show, but, you know, look it up, the manifesto by Nemec on Andor, and you'll find it, read it, and tell me if it doesn't give you hope because it gives me hope. But basically, to just summarize it, it talks about how freedom is a pure idea. How we have to defend it, how, you know, it is so unnatural for fascism to really exist. And that's the reason why it requires constant effort for them, you know, and how it's so brittle. And oppression is a mask of fear. And it says so many cool things that at the end of the day, it gives us hope, right? There was this poster as well that I saw online from a protester at an anti-ICE protest. And he quoted this, or this person quoted this manifesto. And it says, "I'd rather die trying to take them down than die giving them what they want." And this was part of that manifesto as well. It just reminds us at the end of this manifesto, it says, remember this, try. So it tells us not to give up. How are we not going to be hopeful? And of course, the Empire is not going to allow this to happen. Every speech that is given in Star Wars by a protagonist or a person who wants to fight against fascism is immediately shut down. From that amazing speech that Marva Andor said to her townspeople, including Mon Mothma when she was about to get killed and she stepped down from the Senate. At the end of the day, we see this constantly in Star Wars, and people are using quotes either online or at protests to reflect their resistance against the Empire and the hope that we still have to fight. And I just want to say this too, because it's so important to remember what Luthen tells Dedra when he gets caught and he's about to leave. She thinks that stopping Luthen was like squashing the rebellion, like, oh, he's ahead of this. It's done. But what he said to her was so amazing. When he says, there's a whole galaxy out there waiting to disgust you. Like, this was so epic because it tells us at this point, the rebellion is not just one person. It's a movement now. And you cannot stop it. And to close it up, just so I prove the point that hope is really ingrained into Star Wars, and I think a lot of you know, but if you didn't know, you'll see the pattern over and over again. Bijin Erso says this quote that a lot of times repeats in Star Wars, which it goes, rebellions are built on hope. And that is the essence of all of this. This is the reason why people are so motivated and inspired to use any of these quotes, any of the symbolisms in Star Wars against fascism in any shape or form. Now that I got into hope and what hope looks like in Star Wars, I really want to get to the symbol that represents that hope, the Phoenix symbol. And I have it on my car because I really think that it represents a birth of a new movement, a birth of something that we create as a people, as a resistance. A lot of people are also using this on their profiles, on protests, posters, things like that. And I have seen it on marches here at the U.S., especially feminist and anti-fascist protests. And in some of these protests where women have a feminist quote or something they want to represent, they're either wearing a Princess Leia costume with a poster that says a woman's place is in the resistance. Because right now there's a lot of right wingers that want to make women just have babies and just marrying. And at the end of the day, this symbolism that some of these women are using in these marches with Princess Leia, you know, saying that our place is actually in the resistance, really gives us that hope, that feel that there was a symbolic character that represented fighting against these things that we are too fighting against at this current moment. This is something that I think is so important, especially in these times, how hope and joy is going to be so necessary for us to be able to come together and really show that we want something different, something that is for us, for the people. And people at these protests, they're not just doing it to be cute, right? They're doing it because they're trying to prove a point. So it's not just fandom for fandom's sake. It's recognition that Star Wars and One Piece are stories about everyday people choosing to fight an overwhelming empire because they refuse to accept a world without freedom and liberation. And hope works like joy because hope isn't passive. Hope is an act of defiance. And the Empire and the world government rely on despair and the belief that resistance is impossible. The moment people believe change might happen, the empire is already losing. And that's why we see so many of these things happening where the empire is trying to control who can speak in public about these issues. These conversations start to get very dangerous, even in private assemblies. And one of the things that we have to remember is that hope functions exactly like joy in One Piece, where joy makes people ungovernable. Hope makes people unstoppable. Both of these put together, hope and joy, they both threaten the logic of fascism. And let's remember, a lot of the things we're going to be facing and that we are already facing in our times isn't new. Because fiction didn't invent joy as resistance, our ancestors did. They went through a lot, right? The beginning of this country was not rosy colored beginning. It was genocide. It was exploitation of enslaved Africans. It was just so much harm since the beginning that this is nothing new. I mean, we're trying to stop it from ever getting to that point. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people are feeling the way they are, right? Like just scared and also concerned to see, you know, the ICE raids happening, people just being abducted, being taken from the streets, being taken from any place that you would think would be safe, like even your home. And we have to just also remember that across history, oppressed peoples use joy not just as an escape, but as a strategy, as survival, as community glue, as a way to transmit memory when books were banned, when language was outlawed, and when culture was policed. Music was such a huge part of the lives of Afro-Latinos and Black American traditions. Because enslaved Africans in the Americas, they were using music, drumming, and dance to communicate, resist, and plan escapes, despite slaveholders banning drums because they fear their power. We see it in blues, jazz, gospel carried messages of survival, hope, and coded resistance. Carnival traditions in the Caribbean and Latin America use joy to subvert colonial order, parading in the streets when authorities try to restrict gatherings. And we see also in the indigenous and mestizo resistance, when indigenous communities use ceremony, dance, and collective celebration to preserve culture under colonization. During the uprisings, joy became a strategy, celebrating after surviving battles, singing to maintain morale, storytelling to sustain identity. In Mexico and Central America, colonizers repeatedly tried to ban indigenous festivals because they were spaces where identity and resistance stayed alive. Also, let's remember that a lot of the traditions in Mexico and in the Americas were either banned, but at some point, they were merged into Catholicism or into other quote-unquote acceptable cultural traditions that the Spanish brought. It's just oppressive governments throughout history, you know, from monarchs to whatever modern capitalist governments we have now. Authoritarian regimes have attempted to ban gatherings and festivals, outlaw music or instruments, restrict dance and religious expression, censor arts, and criminalize celebration. Why? Well, because joy creates community. Community creates solidarity. Solidarity creates movements. And oppressors fear joy because joyful people are harder to dominate. And especially joy gives us hope. Hope gives us joy. And the way that we can communicate with each other through music and art is such a threat to these fascist governments. So what can we learn in our modern times? Our ancestors went through so much and we are here. And think about what we need to do. Let's talk about this because whether it's the Straw Hats laughing in the face of tyrants or Leia Organa standing unbroken in front of Darth Vader or protesters carrying the Phoenix or Joy Boy references, joy and hope make people unpredictable, uncontrollable, and brave. And these stories reminds us that art is political because it moves us. Joy connects us. Laughter breaks fear. Hope breaks despair. And communities built on joy do not bow easily. The world we're fighting for isn't just one without oppression. It's a world with room for celebration, creativity, laughter, dancing, and play. I think that once we think about all of these things from fiction that our ancestors lived through, we can find a path for a better and beautiful future. So, here's your action item for you to do. Do one thing this week that brings you joy. A type of joy that connects you to others. Watch something with a friend. Make art, dance, sing, cook for your community. Go to a local event. Read fiction. Cosplay. Join a mutual aid group. Paint a sign. Laugh loudly. Live loudly. Because joy is not frivolous. Joy is preparation. Joy is fuel. Joy is resistance. And the drums of liberation, they begin with us. This is Pretty Geeky, and I'm Jackie, just a geeky girl in a normie world. Thanks for coming aboard and getting pretty geeky with me. If you loved today's episode, don't forget to like, follow, and share. Until next time.